This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. You are listening to Season 6, Episode 23. Let me turn down the volume on my phone. How you doing? The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented again by Hooters. For those of you in the greater Tampa Bay area like me, you have 12 original Hooters brand locations to visit, including their newest. It's in Odessa. And if you just like going into a new restaurant, a new bar, checking things out, you'll find this to your liking. It's very spacious. Outdoor patio seating is wonderful. For those of you who travel State Road 54, you'll see it just a little west of the Suncoast Parkway in Odessa, newest gem of the original Hooters family in the greater Tampa Bay area. Also, let me remind you about online ordering, originalhooters.com. Click the orange icon that says order in the upper right-hand corner. That's easy to use. Thanks to Hooters and, of course, JoeBucksFan.com for providing some of the delicious, tasty treats we had at our huge Todd Wright Fantasy Football live draft night that was a big success at Bill Curry Ford. This is the second year in a row we have drafted on the showroom floor at Bill Curry Ford in Tampa. I'm not sure when this podcast will post. I'm hoping it posts on Thursday. If so, if you are in the greater Tampa Bay area and you watch Spectrum Bay News 9, you may see sort of a Hard Knocks behind the scenes story about our draft night and some of the various personalities who were involved in drafting and playing in the NFL, the National Fantasy League, and the AFL, the American Fantasy League, each playing for a $1,000 check from Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. He is also one of the owners in one of the leagues, the NFL. So, a lot going on, but thanks to Hooters, JoeBucksFan.com, for providing some of the food that we had that night. In addition, I thank Papa Mike and Papa John's of Tampa Bay for playing in one of the leagues and bringing food for all players. I thank Scott Heckathorn, regional director of Payway, for playing in one of the leagues this year and bringing food for everyone. He brought chicken fried rice. He brought orange chicken. We had more food than we knew what to do with. It was funny because we had some owners bring their sons who are healthy eaters, like Dennis Phillips's son and Mark Fitzpatrick's son. And even they were like, hey, is it okay if, and it's like, yeah, we've got plenty. So as I even hear the story later from Mark Fitzpatrick, his son had multiple slices of Papa John's pizza, a Payway entree, and a delicious Hooters chicken sandwich seasoned with that wonderful Daytona sauce, and he still made his dad take him to dinner after the draft. I remember when I could put away that much food and not gain a pound. Must be nice. Nice job by Mark Fitzpatrick's son. Anyway, so let me move forward here to recap the foundation draft. Now, the foundation draft separately from the podcast drafts, this is my personal league that actually started 1 year before this podcast. The foundation is in year 7. We have had a lot of fun. It sort of, appropriately, is the foundation for the podcast league. The scoring settings, the lineups, the drafts are identical. The only difference is in the foundation league, we play a 14-week regular season this year. Where in the podcast leagues, the NFL and the AFL are playing a 13-week season because I want champions by the end of week 16, so offline we can have an old-school NFL versus AFL championship game for an extra prize. In the foundation, we play for the Jimmy McGinty Trophy, which is maintained by me, paid for by me. I am the equivalent of the keeper of the cup, minus the white gloves. And every year, if you win the Jimmy McGinty Trophy, I hope you know the reference, your name goes on the actual trophy. So last night at West Chase Golf Club, second year in a row, we've had the foundation draft live at West Chase Golf Club, thanks to general manager Jared Atkinson, who plays in the league, was the 2019 winner of the Jimmy McGinty Trophy. West Chase Golf Club is essentially my home golf course. Whether it's Jared, whether it's Daryl, always making me feel at home there. I will host my holiday spectacular golf tournament there on December 11th. It's not on sale yet. If you do want to play in it, you email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com and I'll talk to you about it. But West Chase Golf Club hosts a Todd Wright Tour golf event annually. They want to host more of them. We could do that in 2022, but they host the fantasy draft. So that was last night. Let me get something out of the way first, because I'm very proud of the fact that I do old school, everybody gets together, live offline drafts. You verbally say your pick. Everybody verbally says their picks. I recap all picks after each round, and we do it that way. It makes everyone pay attention. You use your computers for research, but we do it offline. There's no auto draft option for anyone who doesn't show up. It's our chance to see everyone for maybe the only time each year, talk about the previous year, catch up on life a little bit. But to show you how it works and how I run drafts. So we did a 13-round, 10-team draft last night for the foundation. We finished in 47 minutes. 47 minutes, 13 rounds, 10 teams. So for those of you, I actually lost a player. I believe actually it was Tony Metzler from Hooters who wasn't able to participate in the podcast league because he had a draft earlier in the day that he said regularly takes upwards of 3 hours. As I said recently on Facebook, there is no excuse for slow golf or slow fantasy drafts. None. Now, for those of you frustrated saying there's no way that we could do a draft like this in our league, I want you to remember me saying this. If you live in the greater Tampa Bay area, invite me to run your live draft the way I do it next year. I will offer to do this for you for free. I may even bring catering. I'm going to offer this up for next year. If you want me to run your draft and get it done faster than you've ever drafted and bring catering, at some point in the next 11 months, reach out to me via toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, and I run your draft. You give me total control of your draft. I run it. We will get it done in a record amount of time. And I will bring food to feed everybody. So our foundation draft took 47 minutes. 13 rounds, 10 teams. Let's recap a little bit. Round one, BD Benny. Our friend Ben, who is a golf professional over at Countryside Country Club, took Christian McCaffrey number one. I had the second pick. This is the earliest I picked in any of my leagues. So I went with my guy, Derrick Henry, who has been a common theme in these fantasy podcasts for me for years now. Joey DePompo, who runs the golf show over at Tampa Bay Downs and our defending champion, winner of the 2020 Jimmy McGinty Trophy in the title game against his wife, went back to the well with Alvin Kamara. The Alvin Kamara Christmas miracle was a big reason he defeated his wife in the championship game. Fourth pick was Dalvin Cook, went to our friend SD, who's been driving a UPS truck for about 175 years. The fifth pick went to the Minnesota State Screaming Eagles, which are owned this year by Todd Wright Tour golfer Bill Eisman. An advantage I have with running multiple leagues on multiple nights is when someone has a conflict with the draft, I simply can flip them to other leagues. So Dave Wirth normally drafts in the foundation, had a conflict. So we moved him to a podcast league. Meanwhile, Bill Eisman had a conflict with the draft night at Bill Curry Ford because he had tickets to some football game in Tallahassee that night. So we moved Bill Eisman to the foundation for 1 year. Bill Eisman took Nick Chubb at 5. Then our friend Greg, who plays in many Todd Wright Tour golf events, returning owner in the foundation, took Jonathan Taylor at 6. Tara, who lost to her husband Joey in the title game last year and has improved every year, in my opinion, in our fantasy leagues, and honestly, everybody loves Tara, took Travis Kelce at 7. Josh Allen went 8 to my nemesis in the foundation. That's Sean Wetherington, who beat me head-to-head in back-to-back title games the first 2 years of the foundation. He went Josh Allen as the first quarterback in the first round with the 8th pick. Our friend Doc, who's a geosciences professor at the University of South Florida, and we don't hold against him that he's also spent a significant amount of time in Canada, took Aaron Jones, so he's the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and a former champion of the league, Aaron Jones at 9, and then Jared in his traditional spot. Every league seems to have that guy who likes to pick at the back end of round one so he can pick at the front end of the next round. That's Jared in our league, and he always makes it work. So Jared took Tyreek Hill, end of round one, and then wrapped around and went right back to wide receiver with Stephon Diggs at 2. This reminds me of what I did in the podcast NFL, where I went receiver, receiver. I think I was picking 7th. And I did it. I just didn't feel there was running back value. I was either picking 7th or 8th. So I went with Adams. And then on the wraparound, I took actually Hopkins over Diggs. So I went wide receiver. And Jared did it too in our foundation league. Round two continued with Ezekiel Elliott slipped into round two. He went 2nd pick of round 2, followed by Joe Mixon, then DK Metcalf, then Najee Harris, then Devontae Adams. So Adams was the 4th pass catcher off the board. Patrick Mahomes went 7th in round 2, 2nd quarterback off the board. Then Saquon Barkley went. Then I chose Justin Jefferson, who I kind of wanted the in my podcast league, but I couldn't take Jefferson over Hopkins. I think he was still on the board, but I couldn't justify that. Not yet, but I said to myself all offseason, I want to own Justin Jefferson because the Vikings are simply going to be playing fantasy football this year in what should be Spielman and Zimmer's last season and Kirk Cousins' last season. But they're going to put up fantasy numbers. So I grabbed Justin Jefferson. Then Aaron Rodgers went with the last pick of round 2 in the foundation draft, 3rd quarterback off the board. Round 3 began with Julio Jones, then DeAndre Hopkins, then Mike Evans. Wow, what a run on wide receivers. And then Calvin Ridley. So 4 wide receivers to begin round 3. Then Minnesota State took Antonio Gibson. I sense Gibson is a popular running back play. And I get it. I don't own him in any of my leagues. But he was very consistent at the end of last year. There's nothing exciting there, but it seems like the production and the touches are pretty consistent. Fringe RB1, right? The usage is RB1. The numbers maybe more RB2. But you want guys who touch the ball. That's the most important thing. A.J. Brown went 6th in round 3. Austin Eckler 7th in round 3. I want no part of Austin Eckler until further notice in fantasy this year. CeeDee Lamb went 8th. Then George Kittle went 9th, followed by David Montgomery. And by the way, yeah, I was the one to take DeAndre Hopkins again in round 3 after taking Jefferson in round 2. Round 4 went James Robinson from Jacksonville. followed by Tyler Lockett, then Chris Godwin, then Josh Jacobs. The more I think about Josh Jacobs, and I don't currently own him in any leagues, I think he's going to be fine. I know the whole Kenyon Drake scared a lot of people and drove the value of Josh Jacobs down, but Tara grabbed him in the fourth round. If she hadn't and he had slipped five more picks, I was going to take him. No question. Now, granted, Josh Jacobs, if there's no Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs is going to go in the first couple of rounds. I don't know if he's going to go RB1, if he's going to be in that run of running backs in the first round, but he's going to go before this spot. Keenan Allen, then Tom Brady, then Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Terry McScorin. I took Kareem Hunt. I'm big on Kareem Hunt. The numbers just seem to bear it out. I know some people are scared off. Well, he's a backup to Nick Chubb. Yeah, well, Cleveland knows what they're doing offensively. If you want the reason why the Vikings stink, look at Cleveland's head coach. He used to work in Minnesota. As Minnesota has gone down, Cleveland has gone up. Figure it out. It's the same reason why once Ron Rivera left the Bears, Bears went down. Ron Rivera has been a head coach ever since. Ron Rivera has never hired Lovie Smith. The reason the Bears went to Super Bowl 41 was not because of loser Lovie Smith. It was because of Ron Rivera. So I took Kareem Hunt. Then Miles Sanders went last pick of round four. Round five went OBJ. Yeah, that's early, but that's BD Benny. He does that, and sometimes it works for him. We have a guy, I'm sure you have a guy in your league too, and for us it's Ben from Countryside Country Club. Ben can finish first. He's won the league, or he can finish dead last. He's been the ass man twice. Then I took Lamar Jackson. I just feel strongly Lamar Jackson is going to put up big numbers this year. He wasn't very good the first couple months of last year and then really turned it on. I believe Harbaugh and Jackson are beyond that bad start from last year. And Lamar Jackson is going to give me probably 1,000 yards rushing. And without J.K. Dobbins, I think his value went up, as I talked about in a previous podcast, because he's the number one threat to score now running the ball in the red zone. And if not, he might just, you know, little flip to Mark Andrews, who's very highly paid now, and you still get 4 points out of Lamar Jackson throwing that. Chris Carson went third pick of round five, followed by DeAndre Swift, Adam Thielen. Then Allen Robinson, always a value. Always a value. Allen Robinson, sixth pick, round five. Kyler Murray, seventh pick, round five, followed by Gus Edwards, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper. I'll do round six. Damian Harris, Cooper Kupp, Chase Edmonds, Robert Woods, Russell Wilson, T. Higgins, DJ Moore, good value there, Darren Waller. Raiders have no one else to catch the ball. I guess Kenyon Drake will catch some passes this year, but Darren Waller was number two tight end in my scoring settings last year, and based on wide receiver tight end overall scoring settings, he was 13th. Raheem Mostert, then I went with him just and Sermon. You know, to me, put them together, I'm going to get one back. And then Justin Herbert went end of round six. I'm just going to do the last round to show you what we did throwing darts, independent of the people like me who waited till the last round to take a kicker. I'm highly invested in Matt Prater, at least to start the season as a fantasy kicker, mainly because Matt Prater has kicked my ass in fantasy for many years now. Some of the darts, well, let me just do the last few rounds of just dart throws once you've got your starter set. So I threw a dart at Michael Thomas. I got him in the 11th round. He's on PUP for a month, and he's Michael Thomas. I know he had a horrible 2020 impacted by injury, and nothing about the Saints excites me this year, but I know Michael Thomas can still play. And who knows, he may come back from PUP and they may trade him because something does seem off there. He might need to get out of New Orleans. Let's see what some other dart throws were that were not kickers. Tony Pollard, picked in the 11th round. David Johnson, no Texans seem to have any value until proven otherwise. Devontae Parker was one of the dart throws in the 11th round. So was Marvin Jones. Naeem Hines went in the 12th round. Pretty good value there for Tara. Mecole Hardman, always been one of those Chiefs receivers that here's what we do with Hardman, right? He has a big game, and then you rush to claim him on waivers, and then you play him, and he catches one ball for 13 yards, and then you cut him. And then 3 weeks later, he has another big game, and then someone else claims him, they play him, and then they cut him. That seems to be Hardman's fantasy resume. I threw a dart on Justin Fields. Someone else threw a dart on Trey Lance. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Dart throw, he goes on and off waivers. He's kind of the Green Bay version of Hardman. Melvin Gordon last round. If the rookie doesn't work out in Denver, you would assume Gordon will get the bulk of the work. Lindsay's no longer there. Henry Ruggs, Alexander Mattison is a handcuff to Dalvin Cook. Although Tara normally owns Dalvin Cook, she doesn't, but now she owns Mattison. So if Cook goes down, she knows what she's doing. And Le'Veon Bell went third to last pick in our draft after news of him being picked up by the Ravens. I don't expect much from Le'Veon Bell, but Baltimore did need another body at running back, and I get that Bell might have been the best one available. All right, so there you go. Recap of the foundation draft. Send me results of your draft. Tell me what you picked in the order you picked it. And also give me some other observations from your draft. And again, I may do an entire podcast on this. I'm going to run someone's draft next year. Bring catering. We're going to do it live. We're going to do it offline. And I'm going to show you how to do it fast. Just as I did with the Foundation League last night. 13 rounds, 10-team league, start to finish, done in 47 minutes. No excuse for slow golf or slow fantasy drafts. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Remember their newest location in the greater Tampa Bay area, just west of the Suncoast Parkway on State Road 54. And for easy online ordering, visit originalhooters.com. Talk to you next time.